Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Excited about today. Got a great message for you. Going to finish up our series on guardrails. Going to do that. And I tell you, I think I've had the most help with this series than anyone I've ever done. People sending me pictures and text messages and all kind of fun stuff to go along with it. And today I got another one, and I thought it was so good, and it's so powerful, and it says this: ships don't sink because of the water around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets in them. Ooh, isn't that good? Just think about that for a minute. Ships don't sink because of the water around them. Ships sinks because of the water that gets in them. And so it's so important what we allow into our lives. It's so important what we let in. It's important that we have good, healthy boundaries in our life, or what we're calling them for this series, guardrails. And so how many have seen guardrails when you're driving? Yeah, how many don't want to hit those? Anybody ever hit one? I'm sure that's a story, Pastor Steve. And so we want to have those good, healthy boundaries, those guardrails up in our life. And we've learned through these last few weeks that guardrails are not set in the danger zone. Guardrails are set before the danger zone. So they give you some space. So if you brush up against a guardrail, you're going to, you know, it's going to maybe scratch your car a little bit, but you're not going to have a catastrophe. And just like in life, if you brush up against a guardrail that you've placed in your life, a healthy boundary, it's just going to push you back into the right place, get you back on track. But if you don't have those, how many know you're just going to be heading out into the destruction and the ditches and all that kind of stuff that the enemy has set for your life? And so we want to avoid that. Look at your neighbor and say, let's avoid that. That just sounds like wisdom, doesn't it? Let's avoid all that. And so we can avoid so many of the regrets that many of us have in this in our lives right now. If we look back and we think, if I had had healthy boundaries, healthy guardrails set up spiritually, I could have avoided so much destruction and pain and catastrophe in my life. I don't know about you, but I'll say a big amen to that, because it is very true for my life. And so if we're here today and we want to avoid future regrets in our life, we need to set up these guardrails that will keep us safe. We learned in our very first message in this series that guardrails are there to direct and protect us. They're not to keep us from all the fun, but they're there to protect us from the areas that are going to bring danger and disaster into our lives. And so guardrails are there to protect us, and they're there to direct us. They kind of, you know, if you're going down the road and all of a sudden a sharp curve is coming, what happens? They put those guardrails up and they put the flashing lights and say, hey, there's a big turn coming. And you know what? God will do the same thing in our life. He is Jehovah Jireh. You know, God has many names. And he has many names, and his names declare who he is. And when you learn his names, you learn more about him. And one of his names is Jehovah Jireh. Now, this is all free. It's not even in my notes. And Jehovah Jireh means the Lord who sees ahead and provides. And so you know what? When we put those guardrails up in our life, directed by the Lord, he sees ahead. He knows what danger is ahead. And so if the Lord is saying, hey, you need to back off from that right now, it's because he's Jehovah Jireh. He sees ahead, and he is providing direction, protection, provision for you. There's many times where the Lord has spoken to us and said, hey, you know, it's time, tighten up the belt a little bit, tighten up the budget. Don't do that. Like, we've had money that we're going to spend on something, and it's a good idea. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's something maybe the church needs, but the Lord will say, hey, don't, you know, just have a check on the inside. Like, nope, now's not the time. And you know what? Just a few weeks later, we needed that money for other things. See, those guardrails, the direction and the protection of the Lord is so powerful because he sees ahead. You can't see ahead. I can't see ahead. And anyone who says they can see ahead is lying, because only God can see ahead. God sees ahead, and he wants to protect you and direct you. Amen? And that's why his name is Jehovah Jireh. That's a good name to remember, to call on him. And when you're feeling like maybe something isn't the right timing, that probably is Jehovah Jireh saying, hey, I know what's ahead, and I'm protecting you, and I'm directing you. Amen? That's just all free for you this morning. Glory to God. So anyway, back to our guardrails message. And so when we have those healthy guardrails in our life, they're going to help us. They're going to protect us and direct us. So we've learned these last few weeks what a guardrail is. We pass by them all the time, but it's important to know what it is. A guardrail is a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limits areas. Same thing is true in our life. When we set up spiritual guardrails, they're there to help us and keep us from straying into dangerous and off-limits areas. Amen. Our text scripture for this series has been Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. You can follow along on your Bible app, or you can look up here. We got it up here for you, and it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." This could be our text scripture for life. Amen? We need to walk circumspectly as wise. What does that mean? It just means watch where you're going. Be aware of the situation before you get into it. Watch where you're going. Be wise. A wise person realizes that every event in our life is connected. A fool likes to say, it's only this one time. It's not going to matter. Nobody will know. It's not a big deal. That's what foolish people say. But a wise person realizes that all of our decisions are connected together, and they make up our life. A wise person has thought for tomorrow, but a foolish person is just like, it's only today, it's not a big deal. And that foolish kind of attitude, the Bible says, leads to destruction. Now, you know, we don't need to tell everybody what destruction is, right? We all know, there's some words, just everybody knows what they mean. Destruction in our lives can mean lots of different things. It can mean a financial disaster. It can mean just opening up the door for the enemy and just attack after attack after attack. It could be our marriage is ending because of poor choices. It could be that our children have to suffer the consequences for our poor choices. Destruction comes in many, many different ways. And the word is filled with guardrails to keep you from destruction in your life. But we have to listen and we have to follow it, right? How many have just ever heard good advice, just good word? I mean, you're just like, man, that is so good. That is just good preaching. That's just a good word. And then walked out and done the exact opposite. I've done it a few times. And what happens? It always leads to regret. It always leads to a place that we wake up, we think, man, this is not where I want to be. This is not the life God has for me. Listen, if you're waking up every day on your pillow and you're thinking this is not the life God has for me, it's time to make a change. Amen? Amen? Because God's got a good life for you. I say this all the time. I say, I got somewhere to go. There is a plan for my life. There is a way that God has for me. There is a will for my life that God has. And that is where I'm heading. Amen? But you got to make a choice for that. And we got to set up those healthy boundaries that say, you know what? That's not for me, because it doesn't go with the will of God for my life. That's not for me, because it's going to pull me off the plan that God has for me. God has greatness for every single one of us in here. But we have to stay on the path that God has. What does his word say in Psalms 32:8? He says, I will lead you and guide you on the mediocre plan for your life. No, that's not how it goes. Somebody's like, that's in there? No. He says, I will lead you and guide you on the best pathway for your life. Who wants the best? When you go to a restaurant, you don't say, hey, just give me something average. You know, when you're thinking about you single people, when you're thinking about your future spouse, you're not like, mediocre ado. Right? When you parents are thinking about your children's future, you're not like, as long as they're, you know, mediocre, a little below average is fine. You don't want that, right? What do you say? You say, I want the best. I want the best for my kids. I want the best spouse. I got the best spouse, right? I mean, we say, I want the best. There's nothing wrong with wanting the best family, the best job, the best house, the best. And God says that he will lead us and guide us on the best pathway for our life. But that pathway must have guardrails, because the enemy is always trying to pull you. I need a volunteer. Angel, I'll let you. You're my volunteer today. He's still staring at me like, really? Really? Come on, it'll build character. All right. Now, I'm going to be nice to Angel today. He gets to be Pastor Angel. All right? But me and Ben, I need you too, we get to be the enemy's minions. How many know the enemy has some minions? Right? Now, let's say that this track right here is the best pathway for your life.
Okay.
Now, you're going to walk it, but the enemy's minions, what are we going to be doing?
Excuse me.
We're going to be pulling like, hey, come over here. Come over here. And getting in his way and trying to pull him off and say, no, you don't want to go there. But what does he got to do? He's just got to keep staying on the path. And we got to realize that you may not be able to see that with your natural eyes, but that is exactly what is happening in the spirit. The enemy is setting up traps and setting up distractions and setting up temptations and trying to set you up. Why? Because he wants to pull you off of the best pathway for your life. And the good news is, if you do get off track and you're way over here, and then you say, oh man, I'm on the wrong path. This is not where I want to go. This isn't what God has for me. All you got to do is say, Lord, I repent for being here. And you jump right back over here.
Yes.
Isn't that good news? And God is right there to help you, to guide you, to love you, to pull you. The grace of God pulls you into the will of God. It does. But it doesn't happen automatic. The enemy's always trying to pull you off track. He's always trying to get you to do stuff that's going to get you somewhere you don't belong. Anybody ever been somewhere you don't belong? Yeah, we all have. And so the enemy pulls us, and then we have a choice. Am I going to say, okay, minion of the enemy, I'll go with you. You don't say that, but when you go, that's what you're saying. Okay, I'll go with you. We got to say no. And have that guardrail up, so then when we brush up, whoa, I don't belong there.
Right.
I don't belong there. And when people try to get in our lane that don't belong with us, we need to say, you don't belong with me. That's what we learned in our friend's message, which everyone just loved so much. I got so many wonderful text messages. Usually they were like, wow, that really hit home, or man, that was tough to hear, or geez, I got to make a lot of changes. I got a few of those these last couple of weeks. But it's good, because you know who we're walking with. The Bible says, how can two walk together? Who knows the rest? Lest they agree. So if you realize you've got somewhere to go, God's got somewhere for you to be, you've got a call of God on your life, and that is every single one of us here. God wants you to leave a legacy. He wants you to make an impact on this world for him. And he's going to use your skills, your talents, what you're good at. God's going to use that. God's going to use that to impact this world. But we need to take a look at who we're hanging out with and to ask ourselves, do we agree? Do we agree? Are you walking for the plan of God for your life? All right, let's walk together. But if you're not, we can't walk together. That's just how it is. You say, that doesn't seem very nice. That doesn't seem very nice. You keep walking with somebody who's going the opposite direction you want to be, you're doing them and you a disservice. That's just the truth. That's the truth. But let's get back to our message here. And so we're talking about our guardrails. We're talking about walking intentionally and knowing where we're going. And then we talked about our friendships, how important it is. We realized that friendship, what makes us great, is also what makes it dangerous, because we let our guard down. And that's when you're most susceptible to influence. And so what we need to do as believers and people who've got somewhere to be, look at your neighbor and say, I got somewhere to be. Say it like you mean it.
I got somewhere to be.
I'm going to stand before Jesus one day, and you know what he's going to want to know? Where I've been. Not in regards to sin, because God forgives all that stuff. He's going to want to know, what did you do with the life he gave you? That's what he's going to want to know. And when I stand before him, I don't want to say, well, I had this friend. I don't want to say that. I want to say, Lord, I gave it all I had to walk out the plan you had for my life. That's what I want to say. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to say. Good. Amen? And so we got to be careful that who we're hanging out with, that influence that we're letting in with our friendships, we got to be careful that we realize that where our friends are is where we are. We've heard it 100 times, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. That is a true statement. How many times have we, if we look back at the stuff that we've done, how many times is, well, they had a friend? When's the first time you smoked pot? I had a friend. When's the first time that you skipped school? I had a friend. When's the first time that you shot up? I had a friend. When's the first time you stole something? I had a friend. It's always the friend. And so you better be careful who that friend is. Because you know what? We could also go on the other side and say, when's the first time I went to church? I had a friend.
Yes.
So you can use your friendships to change someone's eternity.
Yes.
I had a friend. I had a friend who invited me. When's the first time you heard about Jesus? I had a friend. When's the first time you prayed? I had a friend. Let's be that friend.
Yes.
Amen. Let's be that friend. And let's pull people our direction and quit walking their direction. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And so then we talked last week. We were ending up our series here. We're talking about the two biggies. The two biggies that you got to have guardrails in. And they were, does anybody remember? Sex and money. Da, 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 right? You know, whenever you say those two words together, it's very dramatic. Sex and money. More at 11, right? And so last week we talked a lot about money. We're not going to talk much about money today. But just remember, God is looking for us to be givers, to be tithers, not because God needs our money, but because it shows priority in our life. God can do without your money. How many know that? How many know the kingdom of God's going to make it without your money?
That's right.
It's going to make it. But what God's looking for is our priority, where we say, hey, God, you're number one in my life. Money is not number one. If money leads you, guides you, makes decisions for you, and gives you security, you've made it God. Isn't that good? That's God's job. And that's why, because it's so easy to get our security from money. How many feel better when you got more money? It's okay. We all do. And so it's so easy to make money our security blanket. So God has initiated and put into practice a plan that keeps my heart where it goes and keeps God where he goes. And that is tithing and giving. Because it isn't about the dollar amount. It's about the priority that God has in my life. That's what it's about. And so if you're one of those people that are like, oh, all this church wants is my money, not this church, because God is our source. God meets our needs. But God wants your money, not because he wants your money, because he wants you. And the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is. And so whatever's most important, you say, where's you want to know where your heart is? Look and see where your money goes. That's where your heart is. And so that's why God puts so much emphasis on money, because the world puts so much emphasis on money. And so we need to make sure that God is our priority and not anything else. And so today we're going to talk about, you guys ready? Now, I'm going to tell on a couple people. I'm going to do it. Is it okay if I do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Today, when we have a meeting before service, we talk about it. And so I said, oh, today we're going to talk about sex. And so not one, but two of our staff members started singing a song called Let's Talk About Sex, Baby. And then they knew most of the words. I'm not going to name who they were. They're sitting on this row, but I'm not going to name them. And I said, I think it's pretty funny you guys know all the words to this song. We could ask them to sing it for us. No, no. All right, so today, now that we all have that song in our minds, let's sing it all together. Oh, all you spiritual people are like, I don't know that song. All you super spirits are like, I've never heard that song in my life. All right, today we're going to talk about sex, baby. No, okay. Who's ready? Got you all ready to talk about sex. Here we go. Now listen, there's lots of other things I would love to talk about than sex. Believe me. But the Bible talks about it, so we need to talk about it. And we need to talk. If you can't talk about sex in church, then you're not talking about sex the right way. Because God created sex. I know that grosses a lot of people out, but it's the truth. God created sex. He created it for the pleasure between two married people. All the married people say, amen. Amen. Right? All the single people say, someday. So when we talk about sex, it's so important because, and I shared this with you last week, when it comes to regrets in life and troubles in life and catastrophes and disasters and life-changing events in a negative way, very, very, very often they involve one of two things. They involve sex or money. We talked about, when you think about politicians, when they get in trouble, how do they get in trouble? Sex or money. When you think about even like, you know, unfortunately preachers and stuff, when they get in trouble, how do they get in trouble? Sex and money. Sex and money has the possibility to just take you places that is just no good for you. Not that they are bad. They're not bad things. We learned last week that money is a good thing. How many think money is a good thing? The most misquoted verse in the entire world is, money is the root of all evil. That's not how it goes. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's true, because when you love money more than anything else, you're in for trouble. And so when it comes to sex, we've got to realize that God has a plan for sex. God has a great plan for you. It's awesome. It's wonderful. It is how God designed it. But when we step out of the guardrails, beyond the guardrails that God has for us in sex, we can have some pretty big regrets. And the thing about it is that we can recover from a lot of catastrophes and disasters and wrong choices in our life. We can recover from those. Many of us in here have. But when it comes to a regret sexually, it is much more difficult to recover from that. And that's just the truth. It's more difficult to recover from that. And there's reasons why that is true. And so we have to go against what the entire culture of the world is trying to tell us. And culture is just what everybody thinks. How the norm, whatever is normal, that is culture. And so culture will try to tell us now, and it is one of the greatest victories the devil has ever had, and that is that sex is just a physical act. Culture will try to tell you that. Culture will say it's not a big deal. You can have sex with anybody. It doesn't change anything. Nothing. It doesn't matter. It's just a physical act. You can be friends with benefits. You can have sex with no emotional ties. That is not possible. And so what we usually say, you know, usually there's like a tough person in the crowd, you know, and they're like, I do it. But here's the thing. You may not feel that the results of that lifestyle, you may not feel it yet, but you will. You will. Because the Bible says that God is not mocked, first of all. We can't just say, when God has his word, we can't say, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter if you believe it. It's still true.
Right.
It's like somebody say, I don't believe in gravity. All right. Okay. But it's still holding you down. Right?
Yeah.
You know, you ever met somebody like that? It's like, no matter what you say, they're like, oh, I don't believe that. Yeah. I don't believe that. And finally, it's like, it doesn't matter what you believe. Your belief does not change the truth.
Amen.
You don't have the power to change the truth. And so when we think about this, it's not to, like, put a bunch of condemnation on anybody. Because, listen, I wasn't born a pastor. I was not born a pastor. I wasn't born into a pastor's family. I was born into, well, just look at my cousin. I'm kidding. We could tell you stories about each other, and that's why we don't tell stories, because we both have them. It's like mutual assurance. You don't tell yours, I won't tell mine, right? But, you know, the thing is, I say that to say that if you're here today, and maybe you've been around the block a few times, you've made a few mistakes, you've got some regrets in this area, listen, join the club. Because I'm in that club, too. Pastor Scott's in that club. And trust me, he's in the club. But because of God's grace and because of God's mercy and because of his healing power, you can be so far off. Remember, this is the path for our life. I could be next door. I could be in another state, and the path that God has for me be right here. But God can still, in his power, in his mercy, in his love, in his goodness, when I decide to walk in the path God has for me, he puts me right there. Because he loves me that much, and he loves you that much. It isn't about where you've been. We've all been places we shouldn't have been. Everybody in this room. Some of us more than others. It's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going. Amen? And so all we got to do is just repent. And that just means I turn my back on a life without God. That's what repent means. Repent literally means turn around. That's what it literally means. When I say I repent, that means I turn around from that lifestyle and I turn to the life God has for me. That's the power of God. And he puts me right back. I say it all the time. I will never not say it. It will never not be true because it's truth. You can go 1,000 steps away from God. Say it with me. But he's always one step back. So don't sit in here and start feeling shame because we're talking about sex and mistakes we've made. Don't feel shame. Feel forgiveness and restoration and redemption. Amen? Because that's what belongs to you. But let's learn some lessons. How many like to learn some lessons?
Yes.
It's a whole lot easier to... we've all learned them the hard way a few times. And so let's get the Word of God on it so maybe we can stop learning them the hard way. Or if you're here today and you're a young person, you can do it the right way. Amen? So let's look at what God's Word says about sex. I just like saying that word in church. I think it flips. What if I say, look at your neighbor? No. Some of you be all red-faced and embarrassed. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse number 12. It says, let not sin, and sin, let's remind ourselves what sin is. Sometimes when we hear that word, it's like it can mean a lot of different things. But here's what it means literally. It means missing the mark. That's what it means. It means God's way's here, and I'm anywhere down in here. Anywhere. I might be real, real close, or I might be two states over. Doesn't matter. It's all the same. I missed it. And so he says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. It's saying don't let sin, don't let that lifestyle be the boss in your body. Don't let it reign. Don't let it be the boss. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Basically, if we do like a Peggy, I'll give you my translation of this verse. Basically, it just says, listen, don't use your body to go the world's way. Use your body to do it God's way. That makes sense, right? He's saying, listen, don't do it the world's way. Don't let lust, which we learned last week, that any desire that is uncontrolled turns into lust. And so even something normal and natural, it's natural for you to desire sex. It is. It's natural for you to desire sex. But when it goes uncontrolled, it turns into lust. And that's where the trouble is. Say, that's where the trouble is. Because that's where you're going to cross lines, you're going to cross boundaries, you're going to do stuff that's not healthy for you, not good for you, and you're going to say, man, what happened? You let something that started off good get real bad because you let it be the boss and not the Word of God. Okay? Let's keep going. And then we can look down in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 3. It's such a powerful verse because so often we have very hypocritical and dangerous views about our boundaries for sex. Now, every dad in here, how many dads to daughters do we have in here? Raise your hand up. Dads to daughters. You got a daughter. Every dad who has a daughter in this place, You want your daughter to have very, 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 very strict guidelines and guardrails when it comes to sex. If it were up to you, she would never have sex. Right? Right? If it were up to you, you'd be like, she would never date, she'd live home forever, and she would just be my little girl forever. Right? Amen. You have very, very strong ideas for your child. And that's good. That's fine. But then, if we're not careful, we can want those views for our daughters, for our wives, for our sons, for our husbands. But then when it comes to us personally, we have very different views. And that is called, how do we know what that's called? Hypocritical. Or it could be called duplicity, where I want you to live this way, but I'm going to live this way. I want you to live this way, but I feel like it's okay for me, because I'm the exception, me to live this way. And the Bible has very strong words about duplicity in our lives. Duplicity means double. And so when we're one way here and another way here, it's called duplicity or hypocritical. Right? And the Bible tells us in James that when you are double-minded, you are unstable in all your ways. So if you have a hypocritical duplicity idea regarding sex, it's going to cause you to be unstable, the Bible says, in every area. And so if you're saying, man, why isn't this part of my life working out? I'm really doing everything right in this part of my life. But you got this going on over here. You got this going on. And the Bible says, listen, you can't have duplicity. You can't be hypocritical. What's the number one complaint people have about the church? Filled with hypocrites, right? You know, and so we've got to say to ourselves, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be real. I say this a lot. I'll never not say it. If you as a parent ever came to me and said, hey, can you give me one piece of advice that will be the best advice I have as a parent? You know what I would tell you? Every time, without exception, I would say, be the same. Don't come into church acting like you're super Christian and everything is so godly and holy and you're amening all over town, but on Monday, you've got a sailor's mouth. Don't do that. Because the message you send to your children is that God is not real enough for all the days of the week. That God is only something you put on when you're around the pastor. He's not real. And there's nothing more dangerous you can do for your kids. We got to be real in the body of Christ. When you struggle, the church is where you need to be. When you're hurting, the church is where you need to be. When you're not feeling up to it, the church is where you need to be. And we as fellow believers have got to receive people in their imperfections and love them right where they are instead of pushing them out and saying, come back when you're cleaned up. This is where you get cleaned up. Yeah. You can't get cleaned up out there. You need the power of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God to clean up. You can't change your life without God. But for years, the church has said, we only want people that look like they have it all together. Well, if that's the case, let's all grab our stuff and go, because none of us look like we have it all together. None of us do. None of us do. We need to be imperfect together and get rid of duplicity in our lives, because here's what the Bible has to say about it. It says in Proverbs 11:3, it says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. What's integrity? Just being real and being honest, being authentic. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. But the perversiveness, and that word means duplicity, of transgressors shall destroy them. We got to be real. Yeah. We got to be real with where we are on our journey and accept that some people are further along, some people are just starting out, and some people, unfortunately, are camped out in some places. But that's where they're at. And we got to be real with where we are in the journey in the body of Christ. Amen? That you can't get healing until you're real with God. And if you can't be real with people, you can't be real with God. Because you're not two different people, right? You're who you are. And so I encourage you in here, Don't have that double-minded duplicity going on in your life. Be real with where you're at. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is all about sex. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is all about sex. And Paul writes here and he says, flee fornication. What does fornication mean? It means any kind, say any.
Any
kind of sex outside of marriage. Now, some of you are like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That is so old-fashioned and so not the way the world is. Exactly. Think for 1 minute how many crimes, hurts, destructions, abuses could be eliminated from the world if everyone obeyed God's word about sex. Think about it. If everybody, now that's never going to happen, but if we did, that's just the power of sex in the world. When the enemy comes and says, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Think about it. And I'm just, this might step on some toes here, but let's just do it anyway. If everybody said, hey, let's do it God's way about sex, there would be no pornography at all. Without pornography, there'd be no child pornography. Without child pornography, there'd be no child sexual abuse. That's the truth. Whether you believe it or not, that's the truth. If everybody obeyed God's guidelines, his boundaries regarding sex, there'd be no rape. None. None at all. There would be, thank you. If everybody obeyed God's guidelines when it came to sex, listen to me, there would be zero sexually transmitted diseases. None. None at all. Some are like, what was that? Because nobody's having sex with anybody but their lifelong partner. That's how that works. No sexually transmitted diseases. Think about that for a minute. So you can see that God's guardrails are not to fence me in and keep me out of all the fun. God created sex. God created sex to have fun. God created sex to be mind-blowing for married people. God created that. God said the marriage bed is undefiled. Listen, if you're married and it's your bed, go for it. That's what the word says. That's what undefiled means. It means anything goes between two married people. And so these guardrails are not to hinder me and keep me from the fun. These guardrails are to keep me healthy, keep me emotionally healthy, and keep me having a lot of fun. How many marriages have ended because of pornography and affairs? And so these guardrails are not to fence me in from the fun. They're to fence me in to the real fun. But I got to realize that. Let's keep going. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. He says, what? He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God and not you. You are of God and not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so Paul is basically saying, here's just the Peggy translation. Don't flirt with it. Flee from it. Flee from it. Recognize where it's taking you. Recognize where getting outside of those sexual guardrails is going to take you. It's going to take you to heartache. It's going to take you to hurt. It's going to take you to shame. It's going to take you places you don't want to go. But when we stay into it, we stay in those guardrails, you're going to have more respect for yourself, and people will have more respect for you. I can't tell you how many times somebody sat across my desk and they said, but I really love them. And so I want to do this because I love them. And they want to have sex. And I say the same thing every time. If someone really loves you, they will honor and respect what you believe. Because that's part of love, is respect. If I really love you, I'm going to respect what you believe and the boundaries and the guardrails you have in your life. That's real love. The rest is a consumption greediness. And it says, if it comes to me, it's for me. And that's just not good. And so when we look at what the scripture says, it says when all the other sins, say all the other sins, they all have their consequences, but the Bible says a sexual sin is completely different from other sins. Because when we go over the guardrails with sex, we sin against our own body. And that's why when we have sexual mistakes and regrets, it comes with emotional baggage, pain that needs to be healed, and can really goof us up for the future if we're not careful. And that is why God has put these guardrails up for us regarding sex. If you were to ask, so if people were to be honest and say, hey, do you wish you would have waited till you were married? Most people would say yes. Most people would. Now, when you're young and you're single, you can't really see that. But you're not Jehovah Jireh. You're not the Lord who sees ahead. You're not the Lord who sees ahead. God has these guardrails for us, again, not to keep us from fun, not to make us fuddy-duddies, not to make us weird. He does it to keep us safe, to keep us in the right place, and he does it so that we won't experience a counterfeit, but we will hold out for the real thing. And the real thing, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, I've been on both sides of the guardrail. Both sides, that's just the truth. I don't say that with any pride. I say that wishing I would have had guardrails when I was younger. I've done it the wrong way. I've done it the right way. The right way has no hangover, has no emotional baggage, has no shame, has no rock that you feel like you never can climb out of. That's the truth. It doesn't have that. All it has is glory to glory to glory. That's all it has, because it's God's way. And so I encourage you today, no matter where you are on this journey, take this information, receive it, think about it, and then you make your own decisions. That's up to you. But this is what God's word says about sex. He says, listen, be careful in this area. It's not wrong to desire sex. It's normal and natural. But don't let sex be what guides you, drives you, and makes decisions for you. Let the word be that. Amen? Because doing it God's way is always going to be better. And I encourage you in here, if you're like me and you've got a past that you don't want to talk about, remember that when you repent from it, that it is under the blood, you are forgiven. It is not who you are. It is not part of you. You are a child of God. You've been washed clean with the blood of Jesus. You are restored. Amen? And there's always opportunity for a fresh start with God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for anyone here that maybe this is the first time they've heard your word regarding sex, and maybe it just is totally different from anything that they've thought or had ideas. And so, Lord, I would just ask you to just help them, show them where you're coming from, God, what your word is for and what it does. It protects and it directs. And so, Lord, I would just ask you to, as they ponder and think about it and wonder about it, that Holy Spirit, you're the revealer of truth, that you would just continually reveal God's goodness, God's mercy, and his will and his way to them regarding sex. That, Lord, maybe they've just, you know, we've all heard what the enemy has to say, and we all watch TV and see that, the lies that are on TV, that, Lord, that you would just help us know the truth. And that would help us to not fall into the pit of regret regarding sex. I pray for every young person in here today that, Holy Spirit, you would just be a guard around their mind and their heart, that you would protect the word of God that's been planted into them. You would protect it so that it grows up, and that the plan of the enemy to pull them off the plan that God has for their life will be exposed and defeated. Oh, I just thank you, Lord, that you are a God of forgiveness, that no matter where we've been or what we've done, you love us, forgive us, restore us, and redeem us. You're just so good, and we are so thankful. I pray for anyone here that you were like me and just did some stuff and got some hurts and stuff like that from your past. I pray for you right now that the Lord would do for you what he has done for me, that he would heal you, restore you, and make you brand new and that he would give you a vision and a glimpse of the future that God has for you. In those moments when the enemy says, you can't let go of this counterfeit, that's all you have. That's all you have. That you would remember that the Lord has such good things for you. I remember as a young person and thinking the person I was with, they weren't a believer, they weren't the right person for me, but I didn't want to be alone. And it was so hard to let go of the wrong thing because that meant that I would have nothing. But it wasn't until I realized that God would be my everything. He would be the one who filled my heart. He would be the answer to my every question. That if I would let go of the wrong thing and grab a hold of him, he would make all of my dreams, all of the things that I had hoped for, that he would give me everything I desired in my husband. I pray that the people here today, that you're holding on to the wrong thing because you're afraid then you won't have nothing. I pray that you would have the same realization that I did. You got to let go of the wrong thing to get the right thing. I pray that God would give you strength, that he would bring people into your life to help you and support you in those times of feeling lonely, feeling weak and tempted, and that you would have the victory in this area. Oh, I pray that for you. I pray that for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But the place to start is always with Jesus. So if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed and you say, you know, I need to start somewhere. Maybe you came in here today not really knowing what to expect, but I hope what you have heard is that there's a God who loves you, isn't interested in what you've done. He already knows that what he's done on the cross will take care of that. He's interested in where you're going to spend eternity, in heaven or hell. There's only one way to heaven, only one way to the Father, and it's through the Son, Jesus Christ. You've seen those signs, one way, they're true. There's only one way to the life you really want. His name is Jesus. And all you got to do is reach out and receive him. He doesn't make things complicated. He's not saying stop all this stuff. He's just saying come. Come. If you're here today and you need to come to Jesus, come to him. We're going to say a prayer for you, but I want you to raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I need to come to Jesus. I need to know that I'm forgiven. I need to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I need to have this emptiness on the inside of me filled. I need to experience love like I've never felt because I feel lonely and alone right now, and I know I need a Savior. I need somebody to rescue me. If that's you and nobody looking around, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I see your hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? Say, that's me. I need a rescue. I need Jesus. Anybody else? Oh, for the sake of those four who raised their hand, let's all say this prayer together. Say, Father God, today I come to you with all my hang-ups, all my screw-ups, with everything. And I say, I want to give you all of me for all of you. Take all of me, Lord, because I want all of you. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, all for me, to give me a life with him. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm born again, washed clean, on my way to heaven right now. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, I know this is a tough topic to talk about, especially in the culture that we live in right now, but that's my job. I got to stand before Jesus one day, and he's going to ask me what I did while I was here with you. The Bible says that there is I'll get more questions when I stand before that throne. And you know what they're all going to be about? They're going to be about you. They're going to be about whether I pastored you, as I a shepherd to you. Did I speak the truth to you? Did I love you? And I don't want to get to heaven and Jesus say, listen, you did an okay job, but you didn't talk about the tough stuff. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear well done. And so I got to talk about the tough stuff. You may not agree with what the word says regarding sex, and that's totally your choice. But it's my job to tell you what the word says. Amen? And so take it, think about it, and just, if you got questions, ask God to answer them, because God's not afraid of your questions. He'll answer them for you. Amen? And regardless of where you are, it does, you know, we love you and we care about you. Regardless. Don't think, oh, I can't go there anymore because I'm sleeping with my boyfriend. No, don't think that. Listen, when many of us came in here, we were sleeping with our boyfriends. It's, you know, I'm not going to say that's okay, but that's where you are now. And we love you right where you are. Amen? We love you. But it's my job to teach tough topics sometimes, right? And so today we talked about sex. So go ahead, talk about it over lunch today and have some fun. Amen? All right.